Thank you so much, Christina, for that song. Never heard that one before, but as I was listening to those words, thanking God for how he pulls the service all together. I go through the valley you want me to. You know, God is walking with us through that valley. Amen? It's amazing, and I just thank God. Thank God for that. And thank you all for your testimonies. Listen, just take a deep breath. Help me to relax a little bit. So you saw me a while ago, and I hope you're listening to the story and not watching my dynamics over here, because this was the first time my little Hadassah was sitting on a staircase. Okay, don't stand. So, you know, that's paternal dynamics of your little girl. Like, yeah, he seems jittery over there. But yes, I know, Ross. But, you know, yeah, that story is over 20 years old. And, you know, it was before, you know, she started winking at me. Yeah, it was before she started winking at me that story happened. But I learned that story, and by the grace of God, we continue to live by the principle of that story, which is prayer. Brother and Sister Wilson, it is good to see you. It's good to see you, my neighbors, at least for a little while. It's good to see you. And don't hide. Sister Wilson. Good, it's good to have you. I hope you are all, our visitors and friends, sensing and feeling the warmth of the family here at Beaver Creek. Thank you, Beaver Creek, for the beautiful warmth that we feel every day. It's a sigh of relief, and that was why I asked you to breathe that sigh of relief, all right? Today we continue with our series. This is part 4 and the final part of the series, From Test to Testimony. And I remarked to someone earlier, you know, you never really stop talking about trials. But in the context of our series, today is the final part. But I pray that you have been blessed and encouraged by it, because I want us to recognize that our Christian walk really is founded and based on a faith relationship. All the things that we can know intellectually from Scripture, if it's not grounded in a relationship, it profits us nothing. The Scriptures don't give eternal life. Is the preacher speaking heresy? The Scriptures don't give eternal life. You know who first said that? You know who first said that? Jesus. You think you get eternal life from them. They testify of me. And I'm the one that gives eternal life. And so as we walk our Christian road with Jesus and we get into trials and temptations and struggles, we wonder why. But this is the reason we're taking the time to go through the series, and as I share part of our testimony with you, to encourage us as we walk along this Christian journey. Amen? And I pray that you've been blessed, encouraged, and challenged by it. The title of our series was From Test to Testimony. From Test to Testimony, Rediscovering the Truth About Trials. And in case you have missed it, you can go to beavercreeksdachurch.org, and all the parts of the series are there on the church website. Part 1 was entitled Think It Not Strange. We looked at Peter's advice during difficulties and trials. Of course, he was coming from the background of persecution when he wrote that epistle. But it transcends all age groups, all nationalities, all ethnicities. And even when we ask the question, why, Lord, we know that he has answers. Amen? And then we looked at part 2, trusting God's providence. And this is going to come up in our review just now, but trusting God's providence, learning to persevere through prayer. Sometimes things don't always work out the way we pray, but we serve a big God, a powerful God, that even when that is the case, he still knows how to eventually bring things back together in favor of his people. Amen? We looked at the testimony of Peter and James. Remember, James was beheaded? Peter was not. The question would be, why? You know, how could that be? But as we trust God, we know that ultimately all things, not some things, but all things, work together for the good of God's people. And then we spend a little bit of time talking about the testimony of Job under the title, The Testimony Amidst the Test. The first two parts, we looked at how when you come out of a trial, you must be quick to share your testimony. You must be connected with God and be willing to share it whenever he asks. But sometimes, even while you are going through through that trial, there is a testimony that should be shared. Have you become a miserable Christian? People wonder, is this the same person who was happy last week because everything was going right? Now they're almost mad at God. What's your testimony amidst the test? Your testimony should be that of Job's. I know my Redeemer lives. No matter what Satan threw at Job to get God to look bad, God only kept on looking better. And if Satan knew how many people would have been blessed by Job's testimony, he would have left Job alone. I pray the same could be said about you and about me. And so today, continuing from last week, our sermon is entitled, No More Wasted Trials. No More Wasted Trials. Learning to reap the benefits of our trials. Pray with me. Loving Father, we thank you for the time that we can spend together as a church family, lingering in your presence. Oh Lord, the haste and the bustle of the week is now past, and we want to spend the time as we share and talk and celebrate and pray together and study your word. So Father, I ask that you'll be with me now as I present before your people. Father, please take this preparation and use it. Please anoint my lips, I pray. Lord, you have blessed me through this study, and I ask that you'll do the same for those who hear. Though we are challenged, may we also be encouraged, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you have your handout. If you don't have a pen with you, there's one in front of you, hopefully, or a pencil, and you can follow as we go on our study sheet. In part one of our series, we were reminded that we should not think of trials as what, everyone? Strange events. But rather, recognize that they are, what's that word? Inevitable. While living in this world of sin. As Christians, we must bear in mind that we are prime what? Come on, church. We are prime targets for Satan, especially as the great controversy nears its close. He knows he has what? A short time. So he's upset, and he's going to try to take out as many as he can with him. In part two, we were reminded that while our God is all powerful, that one's already filled in for you, we must trust his divine providence, even when he does not move in the way we prayed he would. I hope you can keep up this morning. Faith is about trusting God and knowing that our Redeemer lives. That was part three. So, trials. So, while living in this ongoing test called life, are we reaping the benefits of our day-to-day trials? It's right on your study sheet. Okay? So let me read it again. So while living in this ongoing test called life, are we reaping the benefits of our day-to-day trials, Or are they going to, what do you think that word is? All right, you got it. Waste. Do we have a significant part to play in ensuring that we will be better for having gone through life's tests and trials? I believe the answer is yes. But let's go back to God's word to make certain that we'll have no more wasted trials. Thank you, Louise, for reading our scripture reading. Please go there with me to the book of James. That's right, Nicholas, James. Chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. Now, let me just start right off from the very beginning. James, he calls himself, like Paul does, a bondservant, a slave, if you please, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And he says, greetings. And then he goes to what I'd like to call James' advice on Christian suffering. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Stop for a moment. Does he have it together? Count it all joy, he says. Be happy. Have enduring happiness, peace in your heart. Be joyful, he says, when you get into trying situations, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. Then he goes on to say, but let patience have, I like the way the King James says it, her perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That version adds a little personification to patience. Patience that more oftentimes is shared by our sisters. I was hoping to get a little amen in the soprano section, because I know our sisters are patient at Beaver Creek, right? Oh, mercy. Pastor, you're throwing a monkey wrench in there. Oh, anyway. Patience. The beauty of patience. She is kind. Her words are tempered. She is patient. And James is saying, I want patience to have her perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking no thing. Lacking nothing. God wants to do something in your life, and so he has allowed this trial to come in. But the only way it's going to be fruitful is if you allow patience to have her work in you. Now, we're going to come back to that word patience in just a moment. But as we tie this series together, I want us to recognize that the end result of all of our trials, even right here on earth, before we get to the kingdom, I want us to be able to smile. Amen? The end of your trial, by the grace of God, you want to look back on it and smile. Thank God, even before you get to the other side of the Jordan. Remember, our title is No More What? Wasted Trials. And so with that, let's get right in. I want to share with you 5 P ingredients. What type of ingredients? P ingredients. To ensure no more wasted trials. 5 P ingredients to ensure no more wasted trials. As you can imagine, all of the ingredients start with the letter P. So they're very simple, but let's get to the word and let's study. Go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. In every one of our texts, we're going to see an element of trial coming out, an element of testing as we study, as we go through this topical discussion this morning. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to begin at verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." Now let me ask you, what was Jesus about to go through? This was the beginning of his passion. This was the beginning of that testing trial when he would go into the heart of the earth. When the clutches of darkness would take hold of him. Finally, we got him where we want him. As he was about to go into this trial, he invited his disciples to go with him to the oil press. Gethsemane. That's what Gethsemane means. The oil press. Where he, Jesus, was going to be pressed. And as he was squeezed, out of him would come the life that we need. He was going to go to that oil press, and there he said, "Sit here while I go over there and do what? Pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Yes, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, as a human being, 100% understands distress and sorrow of soul. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He needed that companionship. And he went a little farther and fell on his face, and he did what? He prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." That's a whole nother sermon. Verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Have mercy. And said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and do what? Pray." Do what? Pray. "Lest you enter into temptation." I want you to recognize, my friends, that what Jesus was just doing, demonstrating he was now telling them to do, the reason he was praying, he knew he was going to go into this ultimate moment of trial, of temptation of his soul to give it up. And to walk away from the cross. And in order for him to go through the cross, he had to do what? He had to pray. He said, "Watch. Pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Oh, have mercy. A lot of times we look and we think, oh, that only was attributed to the disciples. Jesus was also here speaking about himself. His flesh did not want to go through this trial. His human side was crying out for deliverance. "I do not want to do this. It is too difficult for me." But he prayed, knowing that the Spirit that had taken him all these 33 and a half years, especially the last 3.5, through trial and temptation, and all sorts of things, would take him through this final time. And again, a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if the cup cannot pass from me, unless I drink it, your will be done." By the way, I want to tell you what cup that was. You want me to tell you what it is? Go to the book of Revelation and read, and you'll find out. It is that cup from which all who do not accept Jesus Christ will themselves have to drink. And he drank that cup for you and for me so that we don't have to drink it. The cup of the wrath of God that is poured out without mixture. It is that cup from which he drank. And the only way he could have drunk in it was by prayer and in filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 43, and he came and found them asleep again. For their eyes were heavy. Have mercy. No heavy eyes in church today. Amen. So he left them, went away. again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." And so, you know it. Point number one, the first P ingredient is what? Is prayer. These are all going to be nouns. Acts chapter 12, verse 5, you don't have to go there. We spent the whole time back in part 2 in Acts chapter 12. When Peter was in prison, the church was in constant what? In prayer. Amen. But let's now go over to the book of James, where we had our scripture reading. Let's go back there. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, the Bible says, being now at, I'm going to read verse 2 through 4 one more time. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Now, this word patience is very interesting in both the Greek and in the English language. Okay? The word patience comes from the Greek word hupomone. And what it really means is cheerful endurance. Patience, that's what it means. It means cheerful endurance. A lot of times, we're going through a rough situation, you know, your kid is, let me speak as a parent, okay? Your kid is giving you a warm time, you say, "Oh, Lord, give me patience." And you were as mean as could be. Patience means cheerful endurance. But there's something else about the word patience that we need to understand. Patience is not a gift. Patience is a fruit. If you must have it, the only way you're going to have it is to grow it. Say, "Lord, give me patience." Oh, give you? Sorry, it's not a gift. Okay, let's see how we're going to grow some patience. James chapter 1. The testing of your faith produces patience. So by the grace of God, when we're asking for patience, we're asking him to remind us to be cheerful and happy and to endure the test. And as we pray for it every day, may we also see it in our lives every day. Amen. So point number two is patience. Now, why is this ingredient so important? By the way, point two and point three, they're tied together, as you'll notice on your notes, okay? Let me talk about point three. What is the word? Perseverance. Now, perseverance also comes from the same word in the Greek, hupomone, but it also comes from another word, okay? It's a word that means that you have to persist. Okay? The word in the Greek is proskarteresis. It means to be persistent. Now, let's look at a couple verses. Still in the book of James, James chapter 5. Look at verse 11. In the King James, it says patience, but New King James says perseverance. Same word, hupomone, but we're going to come to another one in just a moment. It says, "Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the patience or the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord." Now, friends, don't miss that. When God brought Job's name up in that council, it was not so that Satan merely could come up with ways to bring pain and problem into Job's life. But when God brought Job's name up in that heavenly council, he had a very specific end intended by it. He was looking for another opportunity to just pour on some amazing blessings in the life of Job. Satan was going to be the one to cry, oh, no, you can't do that. You've already hedged him around. You've already blessed him. I told you, if Satan knew what was going to happen at the end of Job's trial, he would have left him alone. He became the richest man in the East and the West. He was twice as blessed as he was before. Friends, when you are going through your trial, listen, there is an end intended by God. He wants to pour blessings into your life. Satan means it for bad, but God means it for good. He wants to pour some blessings into your life. And I'm not talking about a prosperity gospel here. As a matter of fact, the true prosperity gospel is about eternal life. Not about temporal stuff. Now, why is patience and perseverance so important? If you want the other word from the Greek, you go to Ephesians chapter 6, 18. It tells you there, talking about how we pray with perseverance, persistence. You see, the difference with patience and perseverance is this. Patience sometimes, you could be sitting and waiting cheerfully. But perseverance takes patience to another level. It involves action. You're going to persist as you wait cheerfully. You're going to keep on praying. Amen? Now, why are patience and perseverance so important? When you're going through your trial, if you are impatient with God, you will come out bitter. But if going through your trial, you patiently endure with God, you will come out better. There's nothing like a bitter Christian. But oh, much more beautiful than that is a better Christian. We want to be patient. Because let me tell you, there's nothing that tastes so bad as a mango that's not fully ripe. Oh, have mercy. I'm not into the salt on the green mango thing. Uh-uh. I grew up when I saw those golden fruit on the tree. After they've gone through their green stage, I had to wait patiently for that mango, for that fruit to pick it off the tree. And what? Who uses a knife? But when you bite and you see the juice drip, oh, some of you are like, what is he talking about? Listen, maybe I should get together with the board and we plan a trip somewhere south, you know. You might have to go on a plane to get there and, just get some real mangoes. Oh. But I digress. We want to come out better. We don't want to come out bitter. And so patience and perseverance are very, very important ingredients to make sure we have no more wasted trials. You see, my friends, if we are impatient, you are wasting your trial. And if you don't learn the lesson, you're going to have to repeat the course. Being impatient while the trial is going on simply means you're going to have another one later on to help you get the fruit you actually need if you want to get into eternal life. Oh, have mercy. We don't want to waste our trial by being impatient. Point number four. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at something that Paul has to say. Some of you know this verse very well. This passage very well. I'm going to begin at verse 35. And Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of God? Or the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? He's like, are you going to allow these things to cause you to let go of God? Now, I have something very, very hard to say. It's going to be very hard. And after this, anyway, I'll leave the results to the Lord. It's going to be very hard, so please brace yourselves. When you're going through a trial, and people let you down, and it causes you to leave the church, your faith was in people, not God. If someone letting you down causes you to turn your back on God, your faith was in the wrong place. Get your heart, ask God, make sure your heart is connected to His. Because guess what? People, and I don't mean this in a bad way, because I know I've let people down. And guess what? Take a look in the mirror. You let somebody down too. And maybe you're probably even still hurting over that. Please, go to their father. Confess. Talk to him about it. Ask his forgiveness. And he'll forgive you, even if they don't. If daddy forgives, it's fine. Their heavenly father, even though they may not recognize him as such, he can and will forgive. And you can let go of the past. You can get past all of that. But if you know of anybody who may be in that situation right now, pray for them and ask God to restore their faith. He can bring about circumstances to do so, but he's looking for a partner with which to do it. That partner may be you. So Paul says, listen, don't allow any of these things to separate us from God. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are what, everyone? More than conquerors through him who loved us. And here we go now. Here we go. For I am what, everyone? Persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. May nothing separate you. So your fourth P ingredient is that you must have what? Persuasion. You must be convinced, you must be locked in your mind that nothing, whatever Satan tries to throw at you, it will not cause you to let go of God. You have your hard questions, take them to God. Be respectful, be humble, but take them to God. He will answer. He doesn't always answer immediately, but he will. Jesus told the disciples many times, it's not for you right now to know that. Later on, it'll be revealed. But be patient. Make sure you have that persuasion. Now I want to come to my favorite one, one that's easy. Oh, we passed the hard P ingredients. Let's go to the nice P ingredient. Amen. I wonder if you've already guessed it. It's not going to be readily apparent from the verses. Because so far you've had the P clue. But there won't be a P clue for this one. But I think you'll know what it is. Let's go to the book of Job. Job chapter 19. Which was our scripture reading for last week's message. Job chapter 19. here the Bible says, beginning at verse 25. Remember what this was, how we dubbed it last week? This was Job's testimony amidst his test. He says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold him, and not another. How my heart yearns within him." Did you see the P? Let's look at one more very quickly. Acts chapter 16. I heard you, Luis. Don't worry. Acts chapter 16. Look what it says. Beginning at verse 19. "And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone," this was the little girl who was possessed, demon-possessed, and Paul and Silas, they delivered her through the grace of God and power of the Holy Spirit. When they saw that their prophet was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. Have mercy." Notice, they were now being accosted because of their faith. Hello. But anyway. "And they teach customs that are not lawful for us." You Bible students understand my pause. "Being Romans, to receive," being what? Being Romans. Oh, have mercy. "To receive or observe." "Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." You know, he probably never heard about Acts chapter 12, what happened with Peter. But anyway, verse 25. "And at midnight," at what point? What do you know about midnight? It's the sun is at its nadir, the lowest part, pertaining to your part of the world. It's the darkest part of the day. This is the midnight of their trial. "But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying," that was point number one, "and doing what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them." They were listening to the sermon in song. And let me tell you, Paul and Silas, they weren't jumping up and down with those stocks. They were at peace, solitude, singing those songs of Zion that touched the heart. Not the emotion, but the heart. And so, they prayed, they had patience, they persevered, and we know Paul was persuaded. But Paul also knew how to praise. Don't forget to praise God while the trial is going on. Don't forget to praise him. Don't forget to praise him. Because we know he has a certain end intended. We don't know exactly what that is, but he does. And he's dying to give it to us. Well, he already died to give it to us. So let me just share a quick word from our testimony. This one takes us now to 2015. If you look on Jonathan in this picture, you notice both eyes are straight, right? So this is after surgery number 21. They're finally done. He's gone through 21 surgeries, that's it. But what you don't know is that there are, again, four people in this picture. Now, this is 2015, not 2010, okay? So you know that story of what happened there back in 2011 with someone who we're going to have the privilege of growing up on the other side. Back then, she was 8 months pregnant, beginning her 9th month when that person hit us when we had that accident. And you know that story. But this is 2015. And again, there's smiles on the faces. Not that that memory is completely gone, but we know there's a good future coming. And in this picture, there are four people. Amen. And if you're wondering where in paradise this is the Bahamas, not the Garden of Eden. Okay? We went there for a wedding. You know, my wife's from the Bahamas, and her brother, one of her brothers, was getting married. And let me tell you, she was excited, you know. And we came back to Oklahoma, where I was in the middle of a district change. With a district change, you know, you have to go look for housing. Have mercy. Yeah, why are you smiling? You know, you have to go and relocate. And so, when we came back to Oklahoma and we were there looking, one Friday, we decided that, okay, there's an area we need to go and check out. This was now July 31, 2015. And as we're going through the neighborhood, so looking, you know, my wife's looking at, she was now not 4 weeks away, but 1 month in. And it's coming up into the neighborhood and saw this car coming. It's another car story. Coming in, like, okay, you need to go to your right. Go to your right. Hello, go to your right. I'm saying this in my head. Going and there's a jogger the side of the road, just up ahead of me. Like, this person is not going over. This person is not going over. Oh, no, the person is looking down, not looking at the road. In a split second, I had to jump the curb and avoid the jogger and miss a complete head-on collision. As much as I tried, I got the head-on. My wife screamed out. The other person's car, halfway spin. Like, oh, Lord. Immediately, my mind went back 4.5 years earlier. My wife looked at me, and she said, the last time we were in an accident, she stopped. I got out of the car, the van. I looked. I'm like, Lord. I went over. And you know, they say you're supposed to sit in. I went over and I'm like, young lady, what were you doing? What were you doing? Were you texting? No. She started saying, no. I was looking down. I should have been paying attention. So she denied that she was on her phone. She was looking down for a good 7 seconds. You know, 7 seconds is a long time in driving. Even if you're only going 35 miles an hour. You know, interesting part about this, this is funny, Jonathan. Our engine is still going. He rolls down the window. He comes out and he sits on the edge and he looks at her and said, did you break your car? That's exactly what he said to the young lady. And she just bent over weeping and crying. said, "It's my fault. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And so we waited. We called 911. The neighborhood folk came out. They said, "I saw it. Don't worry. I saw it. I'll be here when the cops get here. I saw it. I saw it." It actually never showed up. And we called a couple times, and they said, "Okay, is anybody injured? Da 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 da. Why don't you just exchange information and go on, go on." Fair enough. Okay. Not gonna sweat it. Her dad finally came, and they were able to get her car moved, and we went about our way like this. But we wanted to make sure everything was okay. We went to the hospital, and when they checked, they saw the little bead there. But they showed her something else. Said, "You're going to have to get this checked out again." And of course, when it was finally checked, there were a number of restrictions put on her. "You can't do this. You can't lift." There are a number of restrictions put on me. "You're going to have to just patiently wait this out." And oh, didn't we have to learn the lesson of being patient, of praying. I can't tell you how many times during the latter stages we went to the ER. Praise the Lord. Month number 9 came. And I'm praising God that this trial came out better. There was March 20, 2016. Hadassah. Grace Royanne Gordon. Hadassah means myrtle flower. It's the Hebrew name for Esther, which means star. Grace, God's favor. Royanne, royalty, named after her grandfather. And Gordon, of course. Actually, Gordon has a meaning. It means from the small hill. it's Scottish. So, you know, can't you see? I'm from Scotland. Didn't you know that, yeah? And there she is. You know, we're all looking, even though she's having her, what, I think she was 2 months at this time here. And there she is. Friends, God wants to put a smile on your face at the end of the test. If we decided to be bitter the rest of those 7.5, 8 months, what would that have done to the child growing on the inside? And yet, she has her facial expressions. Some of you know them very well. You see, I even had to take her here with me in April of 2017, and praise the Lord, we know how that turned out. Amen? It's a privilege to be here and to share with you that we can look forward to better days. God has something planned for all of us. Let's not get caught up in the simple, teeny-weeny better days here. There are big, better days there. How is your trial, your time, your test on earth going to turn out? I pray it won't end on earth, but that it will end this portion and start the next portion where there will be better forever. Amen? So, when going through life's trials, Scripture admonishes us to do what, everyone? To focus. What are we doing? Focus. What does focus mean? Fix our concentration upon the Savior. Amen? Fix our concentration upon the Savior. Focus on Him. That's where our focus belongs, my friends. Not on the trial, but on the one who will keep you through the trial. Amen? And so, you want to jot these references down. There is hope for those who endure trials by trusting in God. Amen? James 1:12, blessed is the man who what? Endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those, to them that love him. Trials patiently endured will result in greater rewards. Amen? Greater rewards. Therefore, do not lose heart or give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man, your mind, your heart, is being renewed day by day. The Bible calls it light affliction. That's what it calls it. And it calls it but for a moment. But it's, what is it doing, my friends? It is working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. When you compare what you're going through here to what God has in store there, it will not matter. Amen? Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen through the eyes of faith. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what, everyone? Eternal. God is good. Our final text, reward will be what? Greater. Isaiah 61 verse 7 says, for your shame you shall have double. That was proven by Job's situation. And for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess the double. And what, everyone? Everlasting joy shall be unto them. You might want to share this verse with a friend. After the trial has passed, does it still serve a purpose? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of what? All comfort, who comforts us in our trials, that we may be able to comfort them, comfort others, which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. Your testimony is not only for you, it's for somebody else. Share that testimony. Share that testimony, because that's the way you're going to overcome. Amen? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So, we're getting ready to sing that song. We're getting ready to sing our closing song. Anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. What's your resolve going to be? Like Job, we want to cling to the way, the truth, and the life. Anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. We have a living Savior, a living intercessor, one who will help us in every time of need. Friends, anywhere with Jesus, you can safely go. When tempted to go into the dark cave of doubt and despair, do what? That was our final P. Arise, my soul, arise. Shake off thy guilty fears. The bleeding sacrifice in thy behalf appears. Before the throne, my surety stands. My name is written in his hands. Jesus has not forgotten about you. He's not forgotten about your trial. Walk with him, talk with him, and he will take you to that final destination. Amen? Why don't we stand and sing that song together? This is a song of our testimony. Anywhere with Jesus, I can safely go.